What's your take, Dave, on the issue of MAB and whether or not it ought to be offered to patients in clinical practice and in what situations?
I think MAB is the gold standard. It has plenty of data from large randomized phase 3 trials to support it. What do you call that, level 1 evidence? If you look at our trials right now, when we're using hormone therapy, we're using MAB. Casodex has less side effects. Biclutamide has less side effects than flutamide. We know that. Even Dr. Eisenberger's study, that was a SWOG study that he was privileged to be the PI on, showed a 10% benefit to combine androgen blockade. So almost every study out there shows a benefit. None of them show negative. It just depends on how you put it. And then to answer your question, in whom, I think clearly in people with metastatic disease, there's a reason to give that. I think that flare is an issue in some people. Blocking the flare is important. That the concept about combined androgen blockade goes beyond flare, goes to adrenal androgens and things like that. So I strongly believe in it.
Tom?
I would echo what Davis said. I also feel that a lot of these studies, all of them, are old. All of them deal with a group of patients that we've discussed today we rarely see. A lot of these patients were treated at the time when we had no knowledge of the antiandrogen withdrawal effect. A lot of them were treated with more advanced disease. And if you look at the old, as regards PSA dropping down to 4 nanograms per mil, I think that's not a nadir. If you look at the Dykeman, or the old Yanknet study, which was published about a year before, that showed that, and it wasn't flutamide, it was nilutamide, an orchiectomy, that patients who nadired down their PSAs to less than 0.5 had a 7-month statistically significant survival advantage in heavy volume metastatic disease. And for all those reasons, I think MAB, or whatever you want to call it, we've probably underestimated the effect. We probably mistreated most of the patients. And if you have somebody who you're going to put on an LHRH agonist, I would recommend putting them on MAB because I don't think we truly know the value of it in today's setting.
Laurie?
The real problem in this area, I think, is that it relates more to how we use hormonal therapy in general than the MAB question. It's very clear that we have been too aggressive in treating patients with hormonal therapy for PSA failure who really weren't at risk. The patients who, in retrospect, we didn't have the data earlier, but who have a late PSA relapse with a long PSA doubling time, these patients have a low risk of prostate cancer mortality. We have been treating them as a community, and to get excited about MAV versus monotherapy in patients who don't need treatment makes no sense, and I think that issue has made this a lot harder to tease out. I think now that we can identify the patients who are at high risk for progression, the kind of data that Stephen presented makes it very clear who should have aggressive hormonal therapy with MAB, which is the patients who have metastatic disease, as Dave said, and the ones with PSA failure who look like they have metastatic disease in terms of their natural history.
Just to echo exactly that, I think that's an excellent point. And if you actually look in our study, there were a quarter of the patients, 82 patients, that had a delayed recurrence and a doubling time greater than 15 months. And in the absence of radiation, in the absence of early hormonal therapy, prostate cancer survival at 15 years was 100% in that group. And that was a quarter of our patients.